And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And today we're going to talk on a subject we have not touched on very much on this program over 20 years. I feel a little regret that we haven't come to this subject because it is such an important subject in equipping the man of God for every good work and equipping the man of God to cast down imaginations and those high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God in Christ. And that is the New Age thinking, not just the materialistic, naturalistic, evolutionary perspective that seems to be so dominant in our institutions, but also just this New Age thing, this other monistic worldview from the Eastern side of things, a pantheism and other forms of worldviews that are counter to that which is in Christ. And we want to be sure that we are not robbed. And this is the thing we come back to again and again, that we are not robbed, that our children are not robbed of the wisdom they have in Christ by vain philosophies and those basic principles, those basic presuppositions, those basic principles of the world. That is, those worldview propositions that are so insidious and they undermine our right way of thinking about Christ and about his salvation as well, even more important. So today, or just as important, today we're going to speak with Dr. Peter Jones, who is the director of Truth Exchange, a very good website, deals with worldview issues. He is adjunct professor of New Testament at Westminster Seminary, California. He's written a number of books that I have been familiar with over the years, Gospel Truth, Pagan Lives, Can You Tell the Difference? Cracking Da Vinci's Code, and also most recently, Global Wizardry and the Coming Pagan Utopia. And friends, these are critical books, I think, to understand the age in which we live. We want to be, as men of Issachar, understanding the times, and these books can certainly add to that. So now Dr. Jones joins us on the Generations broadcast. Welcome. It's good to have you with us today.
Lovely to be with you. It's ironic. Yesterday, we were going through my files, and my wife was a great keeper of things, so I have boxes and boxes. Anyway, we were in one box, and we pulled out a file, and it was the actual text of the lecture I gave at Westminster Seminary in 1972 when I just arrived from France, entitled The Gnostic Empire Strikes Back. So that's some 40 years ago, when having arrived in America, I was hit by what I saw everywhere, what we used to call the New Age movement. And I began to ask myself, what is this stuff? Is it something that's going to come like some kind of left-wing crazy idea, or are we dealing with something absolutely massive? And I wrote that book, The Gnostic Empire Strikes Back.
To what extent do you think this New Age thinking has infiltrated our institutions, Dr. Jones, in comparison to Darwinism, atheism, in comparison to these other ideas?
Okay, I have a good answer, and that is, some people are now talking about the fact that we are entering the post-secular era. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Not the post-Christian era, but the post-secular era.
Yes.
In other words, secularism is losing its strength, losing its power, and in its place, there's a new kind of thinking that is entirely based on, well, you might say, as you said earlier, pantheism, namely Eastern religions and their way of thinking, have taken over much of the West. And actually, the secularism is losing its attractiveness because, and rightly so, because it's not spiritual, and human beings are spiritual. And so the massive attraction of the so-called New Age. By the way, I don't use that term anymore. It doesn't mean to say that the New Age has gone away. It's just that it's one. And so people don't use the term. They say, I'm spiritual, not religious.
Right.
And that's the sign that the New Age is one, and we don't need to use it anymore. But people were attracted by a solution to their life's problems that was spiritual. And that's why I believe secularism is on the way out.
Do you think that some of the movies you refer to, The Empire Strikes Back in one of your titles, do you think some of these Star Trek, Star Wars, Avenger series, superheroes, movies tie into this new spiritualism or this old spiritualism that is coming into the American psyche?
Well, that's why I use the titles of those movies. My first book was The Gnostic Empire Strikes Back. I was trying to take off on those titles because that was part of the attraction of the movies, was the spirituality that was implicit within them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spiritualists had gotten to the creator of those movies, and he admitted that he was completely sold out to a new kind of spirituality. George Lucas was a New Age thinker. So I think that the West was taken over in large part by the power of those movies. But not only that, of course, it's all the other methodologies that we have coming on the internet every few minutes, proposing various ways of becoming spiritual, meditation, thinking deep thoughts about the self, and following Buddhism if possible, or Hinduism. These are all Indian notions. And to be more specific, because you were asking about the worldview side of things, it's interesting, the fundamental definition of Hinduism, which is the massive Eastern worldview that's taken over much of Western thinking, the fundamental definition of that kind of thinking is the Sanskrit word Advaita, A-D-V-A-I-T-A, Advaita. And Advaita means not to.
Do you think that some of this has infiltrated into evangelicalism? I hear people talk about yoga, different forms meditation, different forms of the life force. They talk about the universal life force that works through certain herbs and so forth. Do you think that evangelicalism is absorbing some of this new spirituality?
I do. I don't think they see the danger. They think, of course, if we can name the name of Jesus, that everything would be fine. But what they don't realize is that adopting those methods gets people to think in Eastern terms. And sooner or later, the Christian worldview is stuffed out. So I think I want to give your people a simple way of thinking about worldview. It's what I started developing. I said in 72, I didn't come up with the terms then, but not long after that, I did. And it was because I began to study very closely a particular verse in Scripture, and it's Romans chapter 1, verse 25. And I know it by heart, of course. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served creation rather than the Creator. I don't know how many times you've read that, Kevin, and what that is said to you, but what it said to me was this. The Apostle Paul was actually making a massive affirmation that there are only two ways to look at the world, to look at existence. You either worship nature or you worship the creator of nature. And there are only two options before us. Now, you've talked about secularism and pantheism and all those things. Actually, they're all variations of that same first option, which is the worship of nature. I call that oneism, because there's only one reality and everything is fitted into it. The other, worshiping the creator, clearly the creator is distinct from the creation.
Right.
And I call that twoism. Mm. So here you have it, one or two, binary, non-binary, Advaita or not, either one or two, either oneism or twoism. And that is the worldview that I have developed in all my books. And I think that people have been finding that a very helpful way of understanding all the religions that come down the pike, not simply certain kinds of religion that claim to be spiritual as such, but as I say, atheism, secularism, agnosticism, they all reject God the Creator. And that's the fundamental lifestyle that Paul is identifying as what all human beings affirm when they worship nature. Hmm. Is that helpful?
That's very helpful. And how does that work its way into the mind of a professing Christian or an evangelical today? How does he wander away from twoism to oneism?
Well, you know, as you indicated, if you begin to speak about, you know, your own, what was the phrase you used, your own spirit or life spirit?
The life force, Mm-hmm.
Life force. If you begin to think that, you know, eventually the solution to your problems lies within you, and what you do to help yourself via meditation and yoga, you will soon begin to forget the total distinction of the Christian faith and the gospel, which affirms that God is separate from us, and only he as the separate creator can save us. And so we have to respect him and worship him as the only truth. And that means, of course, that everything in the world has to pass the test of twoism. The notion of distinction is absolutely fundamental to the way God created the world. And of course, evangelicals begin to think in more Eastern thinking. They won't be that bothered by the movement of sexuality these days that makes the sexes blend into one another. They'll very quickly be overwhelmed by that and say Jesus loves everybody, and so we shouldn't bother about that. But actually, we're made in God's image, male and female, to reflect distinction. And so we reflect God, who is distinct from us, in the very genders that we have, in order to know the dignity of who we are as human beings and reflect the being of God. So this is a fundamentally essential issue that Christians must not lose, indeed, that human beings must not lose. Otherwise, our humanity will lose any sense.
Dr. Jones, I appreciate your cogent and concise and helpful distinction, the one-ism versus the two-ism. That's helpful, I think, to those of us who are more garden variety pedestrian minds, and it helps us to understand the difference between a Christian outlook or a Christian worldview at the most basic level, and those non-Christians or anti-Christian worldviews. Now, one of the things
come in so many different forms. That's my point.
Yeah. One of the things that drew me to your site, truthexchange.com, was your article "Home Sweet Homeschool" that you wrote most recently. Really talking towards the secularization of education. the other worldviews that seem very, very dominant today. And I want to talk a bit about the zeitgeist, you know, the spirit of the age that has been so very, very influential and forceful, coming like a blitzkrieg into the American institutions, into schools and universities and such. And it seems that this post-Christian or post-secular worldview is very, very strong. At this point, I think Christians are asking the question, is it time to get out of the public schools, get our kids out of the public schools? It seems to me what you're saying is, yeah, it's time to do that.
Well, it could well be, because the public schools have become such dangerous weapons for secularism and anti-Godism that we just risk the spiritual life of our children if we place those children under that 8-hour-a-day teaching by unbelieving anti-Christian teachers. Now, of course, it's complicated because there are some wonderful teachers and some wonderful Christian teachers in school, in state schools. So it's not always that case, but as a matter of fact, we do know that there is a deliberate attempt to infiltrate the teaching of children by this new way of thinking. And if I was younger and had kids, I would not put them in a state school.
You know, what's interesting is that they took prayer out of the schools in the 1960s. That is, they began to frown upon the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, reverence to God, gratitude to God in the classroom. That was in the 60s. But now you enter into the 2000s, and what you see is a whole new thing with this sexual indoctrination in homosexuality and gender fluidity. In other words, there seems to be this press towards, I guess I would call them, sins of commission. Not praying, not worshiping, not fearing God seems more of a sin of omission, so to speak. But now they're really aggressively indoctrinating kids in this this sexualism. Where does this come from?
The New Age, when it began, was a very personal kind of thing. But people would try to get in touch with themselves, and very individualistic. But very quickly, people began to develop a sense of that they wanted to actually develop what's called a cosmology of this kind of thinking, which is what I call pagan thinking. And so we have had, in recent years, the development of a cosmology, that is, a view of the entire cosmos, played out in many and various ways, but especially in terms of sexuality. And now that's being promoted and placed before our children as a subtle way of drawing them into the ultimate spiritual pagan notions behind all that. So it's the cosmology that has taken the forefront, but its goal is to undermine the God of Scripture and the God of creation for the God of the self and the God of Eastern spirituality.
And that's expressed, it seems, most dramatically in the way that the schools teach on sexuality. It's interesting that the California schools have talked about bringing this sexual approach, homosexual indoctrination, into the math class or into the science. It's almost an entire worldview they're trying to incorporate into the K-12 schools.
There's a perfect example that you're actually seeing an attempt to develop a pagan worldview. A worldview is something that can explain everything. And so the pagan side of it, which is the worship of creation, is being now used to capture the minds of children. And one of the ways is so powerful, which is guilt-inducing, is to get these children to have love and respect for people that are different than they are, namely the homosexuals. And so we have to show love and respect, justice, and openness. And here we have the worldview coming in via sexuality and the call for justice.
Well, I guess the answer at this point for Christians is to engage the conflict of ideas, but at the same time, we need to protect our children and give our children a proper Christian discipleship in the paideia of Christ,
yeah,
and that's the
absolutely
challenge for us.
You know, I think kids can understand it, too. Children can understand oneism and twoism, believe me. We asked 10-year-old children to do some film reviews, and they took some pagan films and said they were oneist, so they understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you certainly see that with Star Wars and others. It's fairly obvious. Well, I'm appreciative of your materials, Dr. Jones, and I'd recommend Dr. Peter Jones, and his website is truthexchange.com. That's the letter X, truthexchange.com, for excellent articles, lots of resources on these worldview issues. And I think Dr. Jones is filling in a missing piece, an important piece, in this worldview discussion. And his book's very, very helpful. One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference. That was published in 2010. And also, I mentioned earlier, Global Wizardry and the Coming Pagan Utopia.
Also, the missing piece that I couldn't remember, my second book in that trilogy, Gospel, Truth, Pagan Lies, and Return of the Rabbi, is Spirit Wars. And actually, Spirit Wars, which may now be out of print, unfortunately, is probably my major piece on that whole what's happening to our culture.
Thank you. Dr. Peter Jones today on Generations. His website, one more time, truthexchange.com. Thank you, Dr. Jones. Really appreciate your work.
A pleasure. Thank you so much.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.